Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that in the gospel lesson, we heard you say to the disciples of your cousin John that you were doing all those things we just heard Paula read from Isaiah 35. And that comes after you, Isaiah, the one whose name means the Lord saves, the prophet said, he will come with vengeance, he will come with recompense, and he will come to save us. Lord, we thank you that all of these things are for us, so we might know that you are alive and well and at work among your people. And Lord, that we should be prepared, that we should be watchful, and that we should rejoice because everything is in your hands and you are in control. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are in the third Sunday of Advent. We lit the pink candle, the Rose of Sharon candle, the candle that stands for rejoice. And we are rejoicing because we know that God is faithful and that he has done what he has promised throughout history. The culmination was Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. The next culmination was his journey as leading his disciples to the point of going to the cross and there shedding his blood was a once-for-all sacrifice for us, dying on the cross, rising again, ascending to the right hand of God, and pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us, right? I think we've discussed that multiple times during this service. It's good to remember. Because in this season, when we are inundated with a worldview that's contrary to a biblical worldview, a worldview that says it's all about things, it's all about what we want, it's important to remember that as children of God, we are given the challenge to ask the Lord what his will is. Isn't that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer? I heard some people praying the Lord's Prayer here. I can tell they're being taught at home the Lord's Prayer. I heard it very loudly. And one of the biggest things in the Lord's Prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? We want to see the Lord's will. We want to know his plan. We want to know his way. So it's interesting to me that after John the Baptist was out there at the River Jordan baptizing people, and then Jesus comes to him and he says, no, you should baptize me, not I baptize you. Jesus says, be obedient, do what you're supposed to do. And so he baptizes him in the River Jordan, right? And as soon as he does that, what happens? Remember the story? It appears in two Gospels, right? The heavens are literally opened. I mean, it's a pretty, that Greek word there is pretty profound because it means to be ripped open. What might sound like lightning to someone, right? To be ripped open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Lord God himself spoke and said, what? This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Isn't that awesome? That happens, and John's there, and he witnesses it. And in John's gospel, it says that from then on, he told people, I have to become less so that he might become more, greater. And yet, in chapter 11, after Jesus has been speaking in the Sermon on the Mount and teaching his disciples and telling them all about what they're getting into and kind of giving them a whole job description of what it means to be his disciple, in chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, these disciples of John come from John in prison and ask the Lord this question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, what do you think about that question? Ever thought of that question? Does it sound like John's doubting? He's struggling. Where is he right now when he's asking his disciples to go and seek Jesus out? Where is he? In prison. Do you think it was fun? Do you think this is what he expected to get into? I mean, the poor guy already had to wear camel's hair and a belt and eat locusts and all. I mean, you know, like, you got to be saying, Lord, what is this? You gave me the spirit of Elijah. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm calling these people out. I'm baptizing them. I'm doing all this stuff. And now I'm sitting here in prison. That's the usual way that this narrative is interpreted. I want to ask another question. Remember what I said John was saying to his disciples about Jesus when he told them they're the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I must become less so that he may become. Do you think that this might be part of John's encouragement to his disciples to follow Jesus? I think it's more than just him doubting and fear and all these things. I don't want to say that they're not there because anxiety's real, right? Okay? Anxiety's real. John was indeed a human being, even though he received the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And, you know, when Mary spoke, Elizabeth said, you know, the baby received the Holy Spirit and leaped in her womb, right? So we know John was exceptional. But he's still a human being. So I don't want to negate the fact that he could doubt. We all doubt, right? How many of us doubt something we have done over and over and over and over again? We still doubt it. Boy, you guys are so good overall. Some of us should raise more than one hand. Maybe that would help. You know, how many of us have experienced amazing love and grace, and yet how many of us lead with, I'm not sure I can be forgiven? Yeah, I don't know what it is, you know. I have received such an abundance of forgiveness and mercy in my life, and yet as soon as something happens in my life, the first thing I think is I'm going to get punished. You ever notice? I don't know. It just, it's an innate human feeling, right? It's and I don't know if it, I prayed to the Lord. I said, will I ever get to a point where I will immediately remember who I am as a child of God and not immediately jump to the conclusion, oh, I'm in trouble now. You know, I think the Lord keeps doing this to me so that I humble myself and say, there's no way I can cover this up. There's no way I can try to figure this. You know, there's no way I can argue with God that it wasn't as bad as someone else's sin. I just got to accept it, confess it, and receive the forgiveness. It's like a discipline, you know. You got to go through this over and over again, it seems like. I don't know. That's how it is in my life. And I just think that, you know, I think that what John was probably doing was saying, you know, you guys need to go and experience this. So he sends them with this question. He says, are you the one that was to come, or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus answered them, and I love the way he answers them, because he answers them from Isaiah chapter 35, right? Isaiah, whose name means the Lord saves, who writes this wonderful picture of that royal highway, the highway of holiness, the way of holiness, where, and you got to love Isaiah, because he was very faithful to what God gave him. I believe that what he wrote is 100% God's word, because who else would write? And even if they're fools, they still stay on the highway. You notice that? Even if they're fools, did he not know his audience? Come on. I mean, did he not know us? even if we're fools, we still get to stay on that highway. That's what it says in Isaiah 35. Look it up. I didn't put it up there. I'm not letting you cheat. You got to look it up in your Bible. Isaiah 35. Check it out. Paula read it. Because even if we're fools, we get to stay on that highway. Only the people who are redeemed get to stay on the highway. If we're redeemed, even if we're fools, we get to stay on the highway. That's awesome. It's the way of holiness. It's the way that's been prepared for us. So Jesus quotes it. He says, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Meaning, you know what that means, not offended by me? I'm sure there are people that are offended by him, but we're willing to give him a chance. How many of us, when we're offended, just write people off? Yeah? And yet what Jesus is saying is, if they just give me a chance, they're going to see some amazing things, right? That's why he says, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. He said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing like a royal? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces, king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I love this translation. This is an interesting translation of it, you know, because the way that he translates it here is really important, because it's, behold, I send my messenger before your face. Will you be able to ignore him? Just think about that. How many of you go around and say, I'm going to be before your face? In your face. That's a word, yeah. We don't like people that are in our face, do we? Unless we love them. But, you know, really, I mean, we don't like people that are in our face. It's not a positive thing. He says, I send my messenger before your face, before you. He's going to be there. And then he goes on, who will prepare your way before you? Just think about that for a second. He'll prepare your way. If he would have said the way, that would have been kind of cool. That was what my message is because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, right? But he says your way, meaning that God has a plan for you and for me, right? He has a plan. It's his will. He has great plans in store for us. That's what I want you to see. That's why I underlined it there. Because he has a way for each one of us. He has a plan for each one of us. He has amazing, amazing plans for us. And again, how many of us kind of doubt that? How many of us, when we're going through tough times, when we're not feeling it, doubt that he has amazing plans for us? Isn't that the truth, though? Doesn't it say he prepares our way before us? It's important. He is Elijah, who is to come. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Brothers and sisters, we're continuing on this journey through our new year of the church. The new year of the church started with the first Sunday in Advent, the first candle there. And we're talking about preaching, teaching, and healing. And I want you to know that when we talk about Christmas, we're talking about the truth that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about how we belong to Christ because of what happened in the past and the Old Testament promises coming true in Bethlehem. We talk about believing in Christ because he makes his presence known to us in the present, today, in his word and sacrament. We become like Christ as he put in Christ Jesus, as we put on Christ Jesus and walk with him. Like Isaiah 35, it says, the way of holiness, it belongs to the people of the way. Remember what the first disciples were called before they were called Christians in Antioch? Who was Paul going after? People of the way, because they were following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, verse 6. So I want to talk about the fact that healing has many aspects. Number one is to get to that point of repentance, to say, Lord, I don't trust you. I doubt you. And in that forgiveness, confirming our identity, knowing who we are in Christ, and then getting deliverance and fixing relationships. By his wounds we are healed. Isaiah also said this in chapter 53, right? We get that deliverance and that fixing of relationships up with God. We get right with the Lord by repentance and forgiveness. We get baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is what causes us to be sanctified, made holy by his blood. That's what our relationship up, that's what it means to be healed up. And then when we talk about our relationship in, we're only going to be able to truly be the church of Jesus Christ, the way, if we ask what he wants us to do, we're open to doing what the Lord wants, not what we want. And I'll tell you something. This is probably the hardest thing on this side of heaven, right? How many of us want God to come and bless what we're doing? Rather than asking God, what are you blessing? Right? I mean, it's human nature. We, in an individualistic society, we want that. We want this, so Lord, you come and bless it. And yet he says, no. He's preparing the way of the Lord. It's his way, it's his plan, it's his will, not ours. And so both up and in are all about trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths, your way straight, right? And then what John the Baptist was doing, preparing the way, making that straight path. So trust is impossible without the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you to be open to being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we can truly trust. And then our relationship, we talked about up and in, and the healing of relationship out is when we're living in community, functioning as people who understand to whom we belong, what we believe, and who we want to become like more and more, we'll be able to share the healing we receive from the word, the healing we receive with the world. If we're not healed ourselves, if we don't partake of word and sacrament, I don't think we'll be much of a healing balm to the world, will we? If we're not in the word, if we're not praying, if we're not receiving from the Lord the gifts he has for us, if we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, what do we have to offer the world? Except our depression and our sin. Really, what do we have to offer the world unless we're in the word? We're in Christ. We're celebrating his word and his sacrament. We're receiving the healing that we need in our relationship up and our relationship in so that we can be a healing balm to the world. If we would have read James, James was talking about how we shouldn't fight within the church because our enemy is out there. It's Satan in the world, and we got to keep our vision on what we're called to do, which is to take the word to the world, to bring healing to the world, to be light and salt to the world, to bring peace to the world. We got way more work going on if we're doing what we're supposed to do than we'll ever have complaining within, right? So he says, don't grumble against your brother. So in closing, let us submit to our Lord's will and see what he, the way, the truth, the life, Jesus, wants for us. Never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. That was a kind of cool saying. Can you remember that this Christmas? Because I remember. I don't know what it is. When I was growing up, I was happy to get socks at Christmas. I wasn't happy to get underwear. We were talking about getting Christmas presents, and my wife says, you can't get that. It's got to be something. If somebody opens that up, they're going to like, that's normal. Need something special. I'm like, okay. I'm glad she's buying them, not me, because I have no clue. Obviously, my kids know Dad doesn't get the presents, and they're happy about it. But Christmas presents. But it's because we should never let the things we want make us forget the things we have. I just want to tell you, I love being the pastor here. Had an inquiry from a church. Pardon me? Had an inquiry from a church. You know, churches are now hiring professional outfits to go after hiring pastors, just like a company does. So I had an inquiry, which I thought was kind of funny because I immediately told them, no, thank you. But it was interesting because they send out these invitations to give your name and stuff, which I thought was kind of amusing. And I just, when I got it, I only say it because what it did for me was it just helped me to think about how much I love being where I am. You know, sometimes you need to get a little bit of a poke where someone says, you know, are you really where you're supposed to be? And you go, uh-huh, yes. Even with all of those things that happen, we still have an amazing gift here. This amazing family of faith, you know that? I just want you to know that. The fact that you're here this morning is a testimony to that. Most people would say, oh, snow, I got an excuse. I got to check that off. That's one of the excusables, right? But you're here because we're a family, and God wants us to grow together and to ask, Lord, what is your will for us? What is your plan for us? You are the way. What is your way for us? So we can follow the way of holiness, the way of righteousness, the way that you have for us, so that we'll never let the things we want make us forget the things we have, and we'll be grateful and thankful. Amen. Let's stand as we pray.